Well, good morning. It's great to see you this morning. I trust that our hearts are open to receive this morning. And what we're going to be doing over the next 5 weeks, maybe longer, I don't know. Let's see what God does. Is we're going to be talking on and around the Holy Spirit. We do believe that we're coming into a season where God is doing more and more. But the reality is, without the Holy Spirit, we can do nothing. And that's the reality. And if you look at 1 Corinthians 2, Paul, he actually, when he preaches to the Corinthians, he says, we don't come with wise and persuasive words, but we come with a demonstration of the power of God. And I know that there's so much around the world where the Holy Spirit isn't spoken about. There's different doctrines, there's different theologies, and many churches don't even want the Holy Spirit, but I'm telling you, without the Holy Spirit, we can do nothing. And so we need the Holy Spirit. As a church, we need to encounter the Holy Spirit. Do you know it's impossible for us to change as a people unless we encounter the Holy Spirit? Christians, we can't change without the Holy Spirit. The world can't change unless they encounter the Holy Spirit. And can I say this, guys? We love the fact, even the church around the world, they love this thing, is God is everywhere. We know he's everywhere, but I don't want him here. Am I right? People love the here that God is out there, but when we start to speak about the manifest presence of God, that's when people start to go, whoa, we don't want that. But actually, I want us to see this morning that actually the manifest presence of God is vital to our lives changing and for the world to change. The manifest presence, not just him out there somewhere. He actually wants people to encounter him. He wants people to know that he is real and he's alive. He wants people to know that he's loved. Can you imagine, like, imagine my relationship with Celeste. If everyone kept coming to me and saying, you know what, Celeste loves you. Celeste loves you. Celeste loves you. But she never demonstrates her love for me. And we can tell people, God loves you, God loves you. But actually, God wants to show them his love. Am I right? And so that's what, even if you look in Zechariah, where Zechariah is talking to Zerubbabel, it's a lovely name for people who are having children, grandsons, Zerubbabel. And he says to him, it's not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit. And so what he's saying to Zerubbabel, he's saying to him that it's not in how big your army is. What he's saying to us as a church, it's not as how big your church is. You can have the biggest church in the world, but if there's no presence of God, it is ineffective. You can do nothing. Then he says, and it's not by power. So it's not by might, not by power. It's not by your wisdom. It's not by your intellect. It's not by your skills or your capacities or whatever you can do. It's not your schemes. It's not your alpha courses and everything that you want to run on your own. If the Holy Spirit is not in that thing and we are coming behind what he is doing, it is going to do achieve nothing. It's by my spirit, says the Lord. And so we desperately as a church need more of God's presence in our own lives so that actually we change. We become consumed by him. We become like him so that actually the world can have a demonstration of God's power. I mean, we know John 15, verse 5, it says this. It says, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Somehow, somewhere, the church believes that without the Holy Spirit, they can function. They think they can get up. And guys, and I'm not saying there's some churches around the world that are massive, but there's no God's presence there. They preach great stories and they preach like, you know, they're great motivational speakers and everything, but that's not why we have church. The reason we have church, the reason why we gather, the reason we do everything is so that we encounter God. So we actually experience him. So as Christians, we need to be full of the Spirit. That's why we talk, they talk about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You know, baptism, just if it simply means immersed. We need to be immersed in his presence. We need to be a people immersed in his presence that actually just love him and just just encounter him. And maybe I don't know where this is going to go. So if I go off my notes, please bear with me, because this has been something I've been working through the whole week, and it hasn't been simple just get up and preach, because there's so much in you that you want to share. But I want to maybe just start with my story, because I think it's important that we understand like just where the context comes from, and then I'm going to take it to scripture and see. But I had the privilege of growing up in a Christian home. That was an incredible privilege. I don't know how old I was when I got saved. You know, some people have got it in their Bible and stuff. I probably couldn't write when I got saved. You know, I was so little. Honestly, I can't remember. I remember getting baptized. I must have been 6 or 7. I remember in a little porta pool at Sharon's house there in Woodenham, and it was about this deep, so it was ideal for me. So it was like this. It was all the big people that had to lie down. But for me, I got baptized. I don't remember the day or anything, but there was a moment that I had an encounter with God. And this is why I'm saying we need encounter, because I was saved. I was saved. I believed Jesus was my Lord and Savior. I was baptized. I was going to church. I was doing all the things that every other Christian did. But there came a moment where God wasn't out there. He was right here. And I remember going to a city celebration. So every year they used to, the NCMI churches used to come together in Durban, and we'd go to the city hall there. And I remember as a young boy standing there and just watching God, and God was moving in an incredible way. I don't know if it was around 1985, 1986, sort of that time. I think somewhere with the Toronto Blessing, all that sort of time. And I remember standing there, and just God's presence was just moving in such an incredible way. I remember standing, and you guys maybe have not experienced that or know this, but I was standing there, and I was looking. God was moving in such a way in that building that people standing at the back were literally just getting slain in the spirit, or whatever you want to call it. They were just falling. God was just touching lives. And I'm standing here watching all this thing, have no one praying for them. Just God's presence just coming. And so they called, obviously, us to come up front if we want to pray. And you know what's so great is children just go. Us old people, we let our minds get in. But when you're young, man, that looks like fun. Seriously. You know, there's no questions. There's not like, oh, you know, like, oh, what will happen to me? And, you know, like I watch my children going to a water park. They look at the highest slides and go, I want to ride that one. The old guys are like, oh, I want the lazy river. Come on, let's be honest. The old guys start with the lazy river and then they slowly build up. The young guys are like, we want to jump in that top one. It's like, and guys, the church is like that. We want the lazy river. We want God's presence like the lazy river, where we don't even have to get in the water. We can just get on our tubes. Like our bums just touch the water, you know? But honestly, that's what the church has become. We're actually, God, the Creator, is incredible. And boy, if you encounter him, it's going to be like that slide coming down. Hallelujah. That's what it's been. And I remember going, and I'm standing there. Can I tell you, I don't know if anyone prayed for me. I don't remember. I don't know if anyone came and prayed for me. I don't even remember what even happened. But I remember eventually waking up on the floor. And I don't remember anything, but this thing I remember is, boy, I fell more in love with Jesus. From that moment on, the trajectory of my life changed. I was a Christian for how many years, but that encounter changed me forever. It was in that moment that I knew who God was. I knew who I was. I knew what God had called me to. In that moment, lying on that ground, not even knowing what God, I remember God speaking to me saying, you will lead my people. You will be a pastor. You will lead my church at 9 years old. And from that moment on, that thing was settled and I never changed. Never changed. If I could have it again, Lord, do it. And you know why? Because I don't know anyone who's experienced God like that who says, I don't want him again. Every person that I speak to that has encountered God like that has fallen more in love with God, has had a deeper encounter with God. And they want him more. And I'm telling you, it changed my life. It was the most significant day in history in my life, that moment. Not my wedding, not meeting Celeste, not having children. Nothing is more significant than that moment where I had an encounter with God, the living God. From the moment I left school, I was like, I'm going to study, but I'm only studying because I have to work until God calls me into what he's called me to. That's why I studied. You can ask Celeste, she knows. I didn't study to become a CA because I said, actually, it's a pointless because God has a plan for me. So I just did accounting. When Celeste and I got together, I was like, hey, babe, you do know this, that you're going to be a pastor's wife. She fitted into something of what I encountered. Nothing derailed. It's like if Celeste said, well, I'm not going to be a pastor's wife, I say, well, then that's where I'm going. My children are part of that moment that has never derailed me. It's like I haven't been that guy who's gone back and said, actually, I'm not going to prayer meeting because my children need to sleep, and I'm not going to church because this and that. No ways. God has called me, and these guys are coming on that journey with me because I've encountered the King. It changes your perspective. It changes your life. And it's incredible. And if you go through the book of Acts, going, look, every guy that encountered Jesus, something of how I did, and I didn't encounter him like some of these guys, their lives were changed. They fell more in love with Jesus, and they did incredible things for him because they encountered him. Let me find my notes. I'm somewhere here. It's about the Holy Spirit. Thanks, babe. Guys, if we go to Jesus, just go and look at Jesus. It's like he'd done nothing for 30 years. He's gone to the synagogue. He's done all the stuff. He's a good Jewish boy, am I right? He's a good Jewish boy. Done any miracles? No. Signs and wonders? No. Preaching of the word, maybe a little bit. He was sat with the guys and went through the thing, and they were amazed at of some of his understanding. But basically, like, nobody knew who he was. But there's a moment where he comes and he's baptized. And this is what it says. It says in Matthew 3:16-17, he says, as soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said this, this is my Son, whom I love, with whom I am well pleased. Guys, I don't know about you. I was saying this to Justice and to Keith. I think it was on Friday. But I love my dad because he's always taught me to think about these things. Like, when you read the Bible, don't just read the Bible. Like, can you imagine? And I said to the guys, like, what is your picture of that moment? Well, isn't this the picture? There's this man in white robes, perfect and clean, has hair, you know, with silk. You know, like ladies when they wake up. You know those adverts? You know those adverts where the hair is like perfect, am I right? If you use this shampoo, your hair's going to be perfect. And there's this image that the world has betrayed of this man standing, and then heaven's opening, and there's beautiful light coming down, you know? Am I right? Through the clouds, such a beautiful picture, like all pretty and clean. And then this little dove flying with a little olive branch in its mouth. Am I right? That's the picture that you see. And then you sit. That's the picture, isn't it? I've got to ask the question is, I don't know if that was the picture. I'm just saying. But we read this thing, but this is what the Bible says. It says, as soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up. At that moment, heaven was opened. Like, I don't know about you, but if heaven opens, I don't think it's rays of sunshine. Because this is rays of sunshine, and I don't see anything happening. But I'm thinking peals of thunder, very, very frightening. Galileo, Galileo. You know that song? Honestly, when you think that heaven was rendered open and his presence came down, I'm wondering, look, give me license here, because people have there able to paint these pictures. I want to ask that I'm telling you, if Jesus was fully man, I can't believe that when the Holy Spirit came on Jesus the way he did, that he just stood there and smiled. Because that's not what I see. What I see is when people encounter God, they're shaking, there's manifestations. And I don't know if it has, but our picture is something different to maybe what something happened. I'm just throwing that out there. That's not like a theological thing. But this is, if I'm saying the heavens opened and were rendered, and I remember the Old Testament when Jesus, when the presence of God came down on the mountain, and it says, and a voice spoke to them. I don't think it was those commentary that you hear on the golf or the football. Like, you know, this is my son, who I'm well pleased. His voice is like rushing water. I can imagine, this is my son, in whom I love and whom I'm well pleased. And I reckon people were on their faces before God. That's something of a picture that I think. Because if Jesus came into this room now in his manifest presence, some of us would be on our faces before God. Not the lazy river. It's not the lazy river, guys. It's not the lazy river that changes lives. It's the manifest presence of God breaking into our lives and into the world's lives that actually change. You know, I think the problem with the church is we've emphasized manifestation over actually the reason the Holy Spirit came. And I want to ask you this question. What was the thing that stood out most to you in Jesus' encounter with the Father? What's the thing that stands out most for you? You know what stands out for me most? Is this thing. This is my son, whom I love, and who I'm well pleased. Why did Jesus come? To show his love, the love of the Father. Why did the Holy Spirit come? To show the love of the Father. When the Holy Spirit comes upon Jesus, you know what? Everything that happened to him was this. I love this man. He's my son. When we encounter God, you know what? My memory most about my encounter with God is I love God more now than I did yesterday. Why? Because he showed me he loves me. It wasn't the fact that I fell over. Do you know that I didn't just fall over? When I got up, someone said to me, you know what happened to you? I said, no. They said, you lifted off the ground about a foot to 2 feet high, and you slammed back over all the people that meant to catch you, and you knocked them all over, and you landed down. That's what happened. I remember nothing, but what I do remember is this, is Jesus loves me more than I could ever have dreamed or imagined. And you see, we focus on the encounter. The encounter wasn't the issue. The issue was that God had impacted my heart. That's what the encounter does. The encounter shows us how much he loves us. That's the emphasis. That's why we need to encounter God, so that you and I who are sitting here will keep finish the race. Why? Because we've encountered God and we know that he's real and he loves us. He's not some abstract thing that we talk about in church that we no, actually he is real. He is alive. Everywhere after that, as Jesus goes and he ministers, for me, the big thing is everyone who encountered the Holy Spirit after, in terms of Jesus' ministry, came out of a place of what? Love. Go look. Everything Jesus did, so we focus on the miracles, we focus on the people being set free, but it was all for one reason. Because why? Because God loves them. We focus on the demons and we focus on this, but actually the emphasis of why God heals is because He loves us. Why does he cast demons out? Because he loves them. And he wants them to be free. I mean, isn't this... Can I read this one encounter? We all know the story of the demon called Legion. We know the man. And this is what it says in Mark 5:14-20. It says, the herdsmen fled and told it in the city and in the country. And people came to see what it was that had happened. And they came to Jesus and saw the demon-possessed man, the one who had had the legion, sitting there, clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. And those who had seen it described to them what had happened to the demon-possessed man and to the pigs. And they began to beg Jesus to depart from their region as he was getting into the boat. The man who had been possessed with demons begged him that he might be with him. And he did not permit him, but said to him, go home to your friends and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you. And he went away and began to proclaim in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him, and everyone marveled. And the reason, guys, I want to read that portion is we know that the story of how he drives the demons into the pigs. But isn't it amazing that here is a man who is full of demons? He's not just set free, because what does he ask Jesus after that? He says, I want to go with you. It wasn't just the fact. The fact wasn't just that Jesus had, through the power of the Holy Spirit, had driven the demon out. But now this man had encountered God and gone, actually, God is alive and I want to give my life and follow him for the rest of eternity. It was a fact that he realized that God was real and God loved him. God didn't just free him and then just no encounter. Just get the demons out, but I don't want to show you I love you. No, he gets the demons out, shows him how much he loves him, and he's like, I want to follow you for the rest of my life. And now I'm going to get into trouble. Can I cause some trouble now? It's the people who don't encounter God are the ones that beg Jesus to leave. Interesting that, eh? It's in churches, the people, the men and women that don't experience the encounter with God are like, say, we don't want God's presence. We don't want the manifestations. We don't want falling down. I'm telling you, you drive 1,000 or a legion, I don't know how much a legion is, but you drive that many demons out of someone, there's going to be shaking. There's going to be some sort of manifestation. God, you don't want that, but boy, that man wanted it. They come and say, no, 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 go, please, we don't want you. We don't want that manifestation. We don't want people to get set free here. They don't care about the fact that God had set this man free. Too much of the church is like that. We don't want God's presence. We don't want the shaking with it. No, they don't want people to experience God's love. It's when you don't encounter God, it's when you're happy for him not to be here. Anna. It's not one person that I've spoken to, not one person I see in the Bible that encounters God and goes, oh, you know, I don't want that. But the people that don't encounter him. And who is the people that don't want him? The religious. It's the religious people that don't want him. I mean, let's go a little bit further. Is this all right? Honestly, guys, without him, we're wasting our time. Without God's presence, without encountering him, we're never going to see God do what he's called us to do. We know it's, I'm not going to read it just for the sake of time, but you go and read Acts 2, where the Holy Spirit comes, and we know it well. But I want us to understand something. If you look at the life of Peter, after that moment, after that encounter with God in the upper room, he never lived the same. He never denied Christ after that. Before he has encountered the Holy Spirit, before he was full of the Holy Spirit, and Jesus is going to the cross. Before the cross, he was like this. He was like, oh, I'll die. I'll go anywhere for you. See, it's easy to say stuff when we know and encounter the Holy Spirit. We can say it in our own strength, but guess what? In your own strength, it's difficult to follow Jesus. It's difficult to lay your life down when you haven't encountered that God is alive and he loves you. But when you've encountered him, boy, it changes everything. And we know the story of Peter. He denies Christ, but in that moment, the Holy Spirit comes. And it's an amazing thing that even this, the Holy Spirit comes on them. They're speaking in other languages and other tongues. And I heard one guy preaching the other day, and he says that if you actually think about that thing, it was like they were speaking perfect foreign language. Have you ever heard me speak Afrikaans? There's nothing supernatural about that. But you speak a language that you don't know perfectly, like exactly the way it should be out of a language. I mean, that is supernatural. But then there's some people who look and go, oh, they're drunk. But you know what the emphasis of what happens when the Holy Spirit comes on people? This is what it says. It says, we hear them telling in our own languages the mighty works of God. Whenever we encounter God the way that people are meant to encounter God, what turns out is this: we praise him. What comes out of you is glory to the King. That's what happened. That's why I fell more in love with Jesus. I said, when I got saved, I'm like, that's all I want to do for the rest of my life is follow Jesus and do what he's called me to do. That was it. Everything changed. It's the same way with these guys. Suddenly everything changed. Then what happens is the people, oh no, they're drunk. What happens? The very same person that denied Christ 3 times to slave girls. Not even like men of stature or anything. What happens? He stands up and he proclaims the gospel boldly and confidently, not because of anything except I have encountered the King in a different and in an amazing way. And what happens is the people are then, their hearts are cut. Why? But they saw something of the manifest presence of God. It wasn't wise and persuasive words. It was a demonstration. There was the manifest presence of God had broken in there, and 3,000 people get saved. Then look what happens after that is Acts 3. Go and read it, guys. Just go and look through the book of Acts. It's the Holy Spirit manifest presence constantly coming in and changing lives. Not he's out there, he's here. God is not out there, he's here. And he's wanting to show. And so we know the story of Peter and John walking, and they see the lame beggar, and he asks them for food or whatever, alms. So what do they say to them? They say, silver and gold I don't have, but what I do give to you. You see, it's easy to give something away when you actually know you've got something, when you've encountered something. But my dad's not here today, and I'm hoping there's a lot of money in a bank account for me one day. And that there's a huge inheritance for me. No. I'm just joking. But if we think that God has something for us there, hoping, like, you know, God's promised everything to us, am I right? But if we believe that we don't have access to it, well, then we're not going to use it. We're never going to use it because it's out there. Like my dad's got this stuff, but I don't have access to it. But actually, we have access to him. And when you encounter God, in some supernatural way, we suddenly realize we have it. Does that make sense? Because suddenly we've caught it. We haven't just been told. That's why I love my dad. He's always like this. He says it's always better that you caught it. You're not taught it. And I think that's what happens is with the Holy Spirit is it's he gives us. We catch him. We catch who he is. And so they say, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, we give to you. And we know that this guy is healed, but he jumps up, and this is what it says. And he says, Acts 3:8, he says, and leaping up, he stood and began to walk, and entered the temple with them, doing what? Walking and leaping and praising God. There's always that emphasis. Praising God. When we encounter God, whether you are a Christian or you are unsaved, the result is this: Jesus loves me and I'm going to praise Him. That's it. That's the point of the Holy Spirit. Why? Because He loves us. And it's a demonstration of His love. Can't keep telling people God heals, but then don't lay hands on the sick and see them healed. And I'm telling you, it comes from this encounter with God that changes us. We suddenly believe something different. We see it through Scripture. Every time someone encountered, their ministry changes. Go read the book. Go read Paul. Encounter with God. And you might say, well, actually, well, we're not all Pauls. It doesn't matter. If you go through the thread, you see encounter with God. Look at the revivalists, encounter with God. You look at simple people like me, at 9 years old, encountered God, and it changed my trajectory forever. Yes, I became a pastor, but other people encounter, and they go into business, or they go into this, but God speaks something into them, and they know that's their course. That's their destiny. That's what God, and they will give their lives for that. Guys, we encounter God because He loves us. And as a church, I'm asking that we would be a people say, Lord, I want to encounter You, not for anything except this, is I want to go deeper in You. Because that's the ultimate thing. Out of that place of encounter, yes, signs and wonders will follow. We'll be able to, we do incredible things for the King, but it comes out of that place as, man, I'm in love with Jesus more than I was before. Changes how we live our lives. But we need to change our theology, some of us. We need to change that. Actually, no. Oh no, we don't want God's presence here. We don't want to be those people that chase God away because they've never encountered Him. The people that encounter Him, always their lives are changed. And as our church, I believe that God is wanting to encounter each one of us. And it's going to look differently. But the focus shouldn't be this thing of what's that encounter going to look like. That shouldn't be the focus. The focus should be this. Actually, I want God to show me His love. That's what I want. Show me His love. I want to go deeper in Him. I want to go wider in Him. I want to go higher. I want to be baptized in Him. I want to be immersed in Him. Do you want to know how immersed you are in God, in His presence? Can I give you like a measuring tool? Can I give you that? Is how surrendered are you to Him? You want to know how deep, how immersed you are? How surrendered? Because think about it. You know that story of Ezekiel where he measures out. It's like, well, I'm ankle deep. Not much surrender to Him, but I'm only ankle full. And I'm waist deep, but still, I'm in control, man. I'm walking here, I'm wading. Then it's like up here, no, I've still got a bit of, you know, you've been in the sea when you're this deep, you know, you're still bobbing, you can still sort of get your feet on the ground, but there's a moment comes that actually now the waves are in control. That's how we know how surrendered we are. Just an analogy, I hope it helps. But that's the question is how immersed are we? And the reality is when you have moments where God touches you the way like God touched me is actually, man, it's like full surrender. And there was no 5 steps to surrender. You're like, okay, if you read your Bible 6 hours and then you fast for the day. And then, I don't know how God does it. He just does it when He does it, how He does it. But the heart is, Lord, I'm surrendered and I'm ready for when You want to. I'm ready for when You want to. I mean, I know God was doing that, all that stuff for me to see so that there was like this excitement. I want that. It was like this, man, and I'm saying, Lord, I want it. And I want You to know as a church, we've been praying for You. On Tuesday, Tuesday evening, we've been praying, Lord, we want to see more of you, more of your presence. We want the church, we want you guys to encounter God in a life-changing moment. And then guess what? Then he doesn't stop with that. He does it again. And I've never experienced it quite like that again, but I've had encounters with God that has just reminded me of his love. And truth be told, over time, because of the church, because of people like I've become a little bit rigid in receiving. Like I encounter God like that and I don't remember, but you know what happens now when people pray for me? Can I be a vulnerable and honest pastor? I lock my knees. And I put my arms and I'm like, you push me over, I'm going to beat you. Because actually, I've experienced God and I don't need you pushing me. If he wants to do what he wants to do, he'll do that. But the problem is that now I'm telling God, you better knock me over. Instead of just receiving. And if God, and you feel good and God's doing, doesn't matter. But now the church is so obsessed with people pushing over that they don't want anything. Amen. I'm like, come on, guys. If you don't want someone to push you, just say, please don't push me. It's not hard. Or please don't put your hands on me. It's fine. Just pray. It's fine. Like I've seen guys literally put their foot behind someone and push them. Serious. But guess what? That has never stopped me from wanting more of him. Because that's man stuff. And I know God is real. So is God real? Well, then let's stop playing games. Like, don't touch. Like, no one in this church, I hope, would ever push you. But it's not about that. It's about encountering someone who loves us. And maybe you have had a bad experience, but it was not him. It was people. It's people, not him. He loves you. And you're losing out because he wants to show you his love. Wouldn't it be great if we all just got knocked off our feet right now? God had just, honestly, how many of you got excited about that? It's good, some people. Or maybe before you even get out of your chairs, just bang, God loves you. That's what it is. God loves you. That's what he's doing. And so we're going to continue just talking about, I don't know what the next few weeks are like, but I needed to share this. I needed you to see that actually baptism of the Holy Spirit is because he loves you. And he wants you to be able to demonstrate his love to others. It all comes back to that thing. I love you. I love you. I love you. And Lord, give me goosebumps. Give me electrics. Pick me up, throw me down, turn me around, roll me along the floor. Do whatever you need to do to show me you love me. Serious. Honestly. Because it's life-changing. But it comes out as surrender. And please, guys, can I just say this last thing is don't talk about, you know, God is polite and he'll never do to you what... God is not a respecter of persons. He just gives you what you want. If you don't want it, you don't get it. Amen. That's simple as that. You want all of him, he gives you all of him. You know what I'm saying? But guess what? Sometimes he just knocks you off the horse and blinds you and goes, hey, I'm real. Go and read the Bible. Everyone's like, oh, no, he's so polite. Like, I don't see that in the scripture. Ananias and Sapphira. Whoosh. You lie to the Holy Spirit, dead. Oh, no, he's a respecter of people. No, he is God. And I love that scripture, and he does whatever he will. But you see, can you see in the room already, it's like, oh, my goodness. Like, oh, I can see people. I'm like, please, God, don't do that to me. Please don't flip me upside down. And can you see how the whole atmosphere changes in the room? Because you know what? Because the emphasis is this. This baptism of the Holy Spirit is love. It's power. It's encounter. It's where If God moves and changes my life, and not only then changes my life, but then changes people through my life. Amen. So boy, if the devil can stop us wanting that, done. Can you see that? Why do you think the Holy Spirit has become the biggest issue in the church? Because the devil knows that a church empowered, full of the Holy Spirit, led by the Holy Spirit, sent by the Holy Spirit, empowered by the Holy Spirit, is unstoppable. Amen. That's a church like that is unstoppable. Amen. And so if he can put fear in us of the encounter and what it's going to look like, we're like, we don't want you, God. And guess what? He can't use us. Because he can't do anything, so he just puts fear in our hearts. So like when I say, hey, you're all going to fall over, everyone's like, because that's the enemy going, yo, you don't want that. You're going to be made to look like a fool. But when you surrender and you've encountered like God like I'm like, I'll be a fool for you anytime, Lord. Or anytime. I want to do what Jesus did because I know how much he loves me. That's why I want to do what he did. So I want God to come this morning. And we just, for a moment, I'm not going to make up anything. It's up to you what you want. It's like, I'm not going to try and wind up anybody. This is, each of us is in our own walk with God. And you want as much as you want. So maybe we can, I don't know, whatever you want to do, I'm going to pray. Maybe just, if you want more of God, just come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. It's okay. That's what God does. Come, Lord. Come, Lord. God's presence is here. It's so tangible. I can feel him just as we started to pray, just a different release of God's presence. Some of you have never encountered God. Some of you don't even know what I'm talking about. So I'm just asking. Just close your eyes. Just open your hands and just say, Lord, I'm here. I'm here. Come, Holy Spirit. Just come, Lord. Come, Lord. Breathe afresh, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're here with us. Just pray as you see our hearts this morning that we long for more of you, Lord. Just ask that you would just come now, that you would just touch your people, Lord. You would just show your love right now, Lord. Just come, Holy Spirit. And just stay in this place. Obviously, if you need to go, you're welcome to go. We don't want to hold you. But if God's just doing something, just allow him to do what he wants to do this morning. Just also want to minister to people while we're in this attitude. So don't change, just keep. But Diane shared that she felt somebody with a kidney problem. I don't know what it looks like, but guys, carry on worshiping. Don't worry about what, if that's you, God is saying, we just want to pray with you. So is there anyone who has some sort of kidney issue that God is wanting? There we go. Do you want to just come up here, Sue, so we can pray with you? And then also for me, I just had this pain in my back as I'm just standing here on the right side of my back. Has anyone got back pain on the right-hand side? Would you just come up then if you've got back pain on as well? Yeah, this is what God does. Is as we just position ourselves, God comes and he just gives some words of, get that. But if anyone else has any words or has anything particular. So guys, just spread out your hand. Just start to receive from God. And we're going to then come in and just pray for you.
It's all about surrender.
Surrender to him, 100%.
I just felt like once a woman had a miscarriage, the guy who would do a DNC, it's like a dusty and it's crappy.
Yeah.
And that's when you're most fertile afterwards. You know, once you've got you cleaned out again.
You don't have to bring it. Okay, well, let's just see how it comes. Ken, Chen, you want to pray here?
Hey guys, God is doing something up here. I mean, you can see God just moving on people. And it's amazing that encounter heals people. That's what it does. So you can see, like, just God moving here. Just people think it's encounter what is God does stuff, and so we need God to encounter so people are healed. It's just the way God does it. I don't know why and I don't know how, but. But he does it. Is there anyone else this morning who needs prayer? It's just not well. Or is there people that need prayer just for their bodies? Anybody? God's doing stuff, and so we want to pray for people. We want God to show you his love this morning. Is there anyone else who is sick? No one. Well, that's good. If you're sick, you need any prayer, just put your hand up. We're going to get people around you, and we're going to pray. This is not... Come, Holy Spirit. Stay there, Sue. You're right. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit.
We worship you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus.
Thank you.
Come, Holy Spirit.
It's an amazing how much God loves us. I don't know about you guys, but nothing scary about this. Hey? It's just the love of God. If you just look at the people here, just God loves them. God's touching them. So, Father, I pray even now that as we go, that, Lord, our hearts would be, we want more of you, Lord. We want more of you. We're going to encounter you in amazing ways. Even as I'm praying that, I feel like God wants to do things in people where you've encountered him and you haven't for a long time. I feel like he wants to do that. So Lord, would you do that? Would you fill us afresh, Lord? We need you. We want you, Holy Spirit. We want to fall more in love with you, and we want people to fall in love with you.
I was a man that used to run from God, even though I was a Christian. And one day I said, Lord, let me slowly come into your presence. And he is such a loving God that he took me into his presence slowly and gradually so that I can actually live in his presence, in joy. When a person used to stand up and people were falling in the church, I would run out. It's not something to be frightened of. Just say, Lord, I want to love you. Let me love you. And allow his presence to come.
Amen. He loves us. He loves us so much. Let's go and love him back in whatever way we can. God bless you. Have an awesome week. God bless.